Tim Benz with you on 105.9 The X today in for Mark Madden. Super Bowl going on right now, and joining me to talk about it is Soren Petro. He covers the Chiefs, great talk show host out in Kansas City from 810 WHB. Soren, thanks a lot for making some time for us. I know it's a busy week. Glad to have you on. How are things shaping up out there in advance of this Super Bowl for the Chiefs? You've covered a few of them now. What do you feel about this one going in against the Philadelphia Eagles?
Well, first of all, I feel like Tim Benz, right? Covering a third Super Bowl in 4 years. It's like what I used to sit and talk to you about while I sat there drooling of what it would be like to cover a team that actually got to the championship. You know, when Andy Reid came here, the Lamar Hunt Trophy had never resided in Arrowhead Stadium. And that was a phenomenal, a disaster for the Chiefs organization to not be able to hold the trophy as AFC champions that their founder had his name on. Now to be playing in their third Super Bowl in 4 years, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't get old. Like, the town is electric, that's for sure.
Interesting to hear you phrase it that way because, well, here in Pittsburgh, there's been a lot of dialogue this week about their most recent Super Bowl, which was the loss to the Packers in Super Bowl 45. The game plan that went into it, Max Starks had some comments about it. Ben Roethlisberger was the agenda to have him win the MVP that year. And one thing I felt in that game was I felt like the Steelers were working really, really hard to be the Patriots. Like, they were working really hard to make it seem like this was cool and second hat and, you know, the Super Bowl was no big deal, and this is on the Packers finally getting there. This one's going to be on them for a tough road to go through. Rodgers' first Super Bowl and all that. That's the vibe that I got. What sense are you getting from the Chiefs? Are they trying to play that Joe Cool card, or is this still very special to them?
You know, I think that's interesting because that dynamic, you know, you had a wild card Packer team that, you know, was in that game, and the Steelers were the team that had been there and done that. And you know, this is maybe the Chiefs got lucky in who they're going up against, in the sense that the Eagles as an organization, while their quarterback wasn't, which is so much the timeline we measure every franchise by, is their head coach and their quarterback. But there's still a number of guys that were on this team that beat the Patriots 4 or 5 years ago. So they've been around. They're answering those questions. It's also a team that was the number one seed, went 14-3. So the idea, and they've got Patrick Mahomes limping around. So, you know, I mentioned it to one of the guys I was talking to today. I think it was Orlando Brown, the left tackle of the Chiefs. I said, you know, here you guys are, you know, as an organization in your third Super Bowl in 4 years, and the conversation is how the Eagles' D-line's better, the Eagles' O-line is better. You know, there's plenty of bulletin board material for this team, which is kind of a unique spot when you've got the guy that most people think is the best player in the league and is going to pick up his second MVP at age 27 later tonight. You know, they maybe have got themselves in the right motivational spot just because of all the storylines that are being written by everybody else about the Eagles.
Now, those storylines, though, Soren, are they true? Are the Eagles going to win this because they're better along the defensive line and offensive line? And I would say particularly along the defensive line. How much of that dialogue is accurate?
Yeah, you know, the fact that the Eagles are good is accurate. I think there's a point to debate as to, are they better than the Chiefs along the line of scrimmage? And I wouldn't waste any time if you want to say, well, I think the Eagles are a 10 on both sides and the Chiefs are a 9, or they're a 9.3 and the Chiefs are an 8.6. Well, I think what's clear is, you know, the advantage is, you know, maybe not as much because his legs aren't good. The advantage is at the quarterback position for the Kansas City Chiefs. So they don't have to be better at every other position, or really maybe not even any of them. They just have to be close to what the Eagles are. And I think that is a fact. I think that's underreported. You know, the Eagles' 70 sacks gets a lot of run. The Chiefs were second with 55. 15 sacks is a big difference. The Eagles went from 29 sacks last year to 70 this year. And if you look at the quarterbacks they've played, they had an amazing run of catching up quarterbacks and developmental guys. They got Trevor Lawrence, but they got him before he really clicked in the second half. You know, when they ran into Aaron Rodgers, who didn't have a good year, they gave up 33. They ran into Dak Prescott, the only one game that he played against him, he put 40 on him in one of their losses. So I think, you know, sacks are a big product. You know, modern analytics will tell you of the quarterback not taking them, and the Taylor Heinickes of the world and the backups that they saw throughout the course of the year, I think inflated those stats. The Eagles front is very good. There's no doubt about it. But I think the statistical numbers that are being thrown around You know, there's still a lot of Hassan Reddick is the big addition that came to a defense that had 28, 29 sacks last year and had 70 this year. So I think that's a little bit overplayed. And if you look at their offensive line, it's very good. You look at the PFF grades, it looks better for the Eagles, and it probably is better all around as a unit. It's definitely better at the tackle position, which is the more important position. But again, they gave up 44 sacks. The Chiefs gave up 26. Now, again, I can't talk out of both sides of my mouth and tell you the quarterback isn't a big part of it. It is, and I'm sure Jalen Hurts holds the ball more, tries to make even more plays with his legs, and that's, you know, put more of those sacks on the board. But it does speak to the fact that he can be sacked. He and the Chiefs are a team that's very good at getting after the sack. So, you know, overall, the sack differential of what they, you know, had versus what they gave up, the Chiefs are actually a little bit better than the Eagles. So they're both good. I don't mind saying the Eagles might be better on both sides, but there's not a wide chasm between these teams when it comes to the line of scrimmage.
Srem Petro joining us right now, Sports Radio 810 WHB. He's with us on 105.9 The X as we look ahead to the Super Bowl on Sunday between the Chiefs and the Eagles. Srem's covered the last couple Super Bowls for the Chiefs as well. You know, I want to kind of go down the rabbit hole of if the Chiefs win, how do they do it? And I'm somebody who picked the Eagles, but one of my hedges is, you know, if the Chiefs win, I have some money on Mahomes to be the MVP because I'm just going to default to that. If they win, he's got to be the MVP. I've heard some people say the smarter money is on Kelce because if the Chiefs win, Kelce has to be a very effective target and have a huge day. Do you look at it that way, or do the Eagles throw so many bodies at Kelce that it's going to be somebody else that has a big day receiving-wise for Kansas City?
You know, I think if we knew their game plan, we could give that answer, because I think that is one of the things that teams did coming down the stretch against the Chiefs. Travis Kelce was having, and he always has a fantastic season, but was having maybe his best season until he hit about the last five games of the year, and teams really did. They started putting their best corner on him. They started bracketing him, trying to double him a lot. And that's when Jerick McKinnon took off and had, in the last six games, nine or eight receiving touchdowns, ended up with nine on the year and tied the NFL record for receiving touchdowns by a running back in a season. So, you know, it is, from that standpoint, Andy Reid has something for everybody that if you're going to take somebody away, he expects somebody else to step up and make those plays. And that'll be the storyline. I would take Kelce away. I mean, I think it gets to pitch and catch for Patrick Mahomes. Like, if we're going to get beat, okay, let's get beat by a 30-year-old running back that's playing for the league minimum. I like that better than maybe the best tight end, at least the best receiving tight end that's ever played the game. Let's not be stupid here and let that guy just go up and down the field, because they have a great chemistry and a great rhythm. But there is more to it. I mean, the Chiefs are happy that Kadarius Toney is practicing. Hopefully he can get through the game. Juju Smith-Schuster is practicing. Again, hopefully he can get through the game. He's got $1 million riding on getting more than 50% of the snaps and a Chiefs win in this game. So there's plenty of incentive for him to play in that game and hopefully play well. So I think they've got other places they can go with the football. You know, there's no value in betting Patrick Mahomes, so I wouldn't do it because the numbers are
he's
so low.
Plus 130 now. Yeah, yeah.
Listen, I think that the Chiefs are going to have to keep the Eagles off balance. The game that in Kansas City, if the Chiefs win and they handle this game, the game people are going to point to is how they handled the 49ers earlier in the year, who had a great pass rush and a great defense, and the Chiefs kept them off balance and worked them over, really. 44 points on the board against them, 423 for Patrick Mahomes. They almost had, you know, they had 100 yards from both Juju and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Kelce had 96 in that game. They really did what they wanted. I think there's a feeling that people look at the Chiefs or look at a great pass rush and they go, well, they can't throw the ball. They're going to throw the ball. I mean, they'll want to run, and they'll want to run effectively, but it's still going to be probably a 2-to-1 pass-to-run ratio. It's going to be on Andy Reid to have the shovel passes, you know, all the misdirection stuff, some slants, some cut blocking, some screens to really get that front thinking. And I think he'll do it. It'll be a matter of how effective they are. But I think this is a game that, you know, whatever happens, Tim, you know, everyone's going to – it's going to be an absolute. That's how the game would have played out 100 out of 100 times, and that's not reality. I think this is a game that if the defenses can get takeaways, and the Chiefs have been on a roll on that statistic, 2 in each of the last 4 games. They've had 12 in their last 7, 16 in their last 10 games. You know, they really kind of came into their own down the stretch, and the Eagles are very good as well. If somebody's getting the takeaways – and this is a game that the offenses have the ability to stretch it out. And I think it's right to be, you know, the spread to be tight like this. but I also think that if you want a good bet, you know, lay one of the teams minus 6.5, lay one of them minus 9.5, because I think there's a chance that some turnovers take what is a tight game and make it a double-digit score.
Saran Petro with us, covers the Chiefs, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Okay, Saran, you brought up Juju before. I'm just wondering, how was he with you guys in the Kansas City media this year? He had a great reputation of being a sparkling personality for the national media types when he was here in Pittsburgh, and when the cameras were off, particularly for the local print and radio guys, he was kind of a sourpuss. What'd you take away from your time covering Juju this year?
Andy Reid is the world heavyweight champ of keeping everyone and anyone as far away from a microphone and camera as possible, and it's welcomed to hide in the back. I mean, I think that's just, you know, Andy Reid comes across as this gregarious, you know, grandfatherly guy. And listen, that is a part of who he is. That is a genuine, you know, you just listen to the people that have played for him and worked for him and how they glow about the guy. He is a genuinely good person to be around and work with, you know, for all the hours the guys put in the football world. But man, he doesn't want to talk to the media any longer. His Monday media sessions, we're lucky if we get 10 minutes total out of those. Nothing ever goes more than 15 minutes. He's probably losing his mind having to talk as long as he's having to talk at the Super Bowl. And in the locker room, they got no problem with guys hiding back where the food is, and there's very few guys that are out there. And the Chiefs kind of settle into protecting those guys. And Juju, I think, maybe recognized that this is a season he needs to perform and not talk. And so he spent a lot of time saying, no, I don't have anything to say. So I can't say that anything was negative or sour. I caught him once, maybe twice early in the year in the locker room. After that, if he wasn't being brought to the podium that week, you weren't finding Juju Smith-Schuster anywhere but in postgame. And so I think that was one, just assimilating to the new kind of environment that the Chiefs have, a much more closed door environment than maybe he came from in Pittsburgh. I don't cover the Steelers, so I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth. But for the most part, there was never a problem. Didn't ever come across sour, but also haven't said much for about the last, you know, 3 months either.
Finally, Saran, last question for you. It's got to do with the Eagles having the ball. You talked about speaking in absolutes earlier. Who's the guy that Chiefs fans are saying, oh, he screwed us on offense if the Eagles do win this? Is it Hurts with his arm, Hurts with his legs? Is it AJ? Is it one of the backs in particular that you're concerned about? Who is it on offense that screws the Chiefs if the Eagles do win?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I guess I would say AJ Brown, but this defensive backfield, which played with three rookie corners out there against the Bengals wide receiving corps. Now, they did lose Tyler Boyd in the game themselves, but they lost L'Jarius Sneed with the fourth snap of the game, and they played with three rookie corners and a third safety that's a rookie as well. They got a lot of snap from those guys. They held up really well against the Bengals. Now, part of that was they got after the quarterback. So I don't know if it's an individual. It's if my measurement of the Chiefs D-line against the Eagles O-line is wrong, and the Eagles O-line is every bit as good as everybody's making it out to be, or if it really, as I think it is very good, but if the differential is as big as I think some people are making it out to be, which I don't think it is, I think it's more about the protection. I guess it would be Jalen Hurts, because he gets time to throw the football, and he's able to pick this team apart. It doesn't matter if you're good at coverage or not. If you never get the quarterback down, if you don't affect him, eventually somebody's going to get open, and the Eagles have talented receivers, even beyond just the 1-2 punch of A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. They're deep. Dallas Goedert can beat you. I think Quez Watkins is a nice wide receiver for them as well. And they're running backs out of the backfield, especially Gainwell, are guys that are going to spread the entire defense. Everybody's got to play well. And I think that's, you know, that's what it's supposed to be, right? It's the Super Bowl. You're not supposed to have glaring weaknesses. Frankly, the Bengals offensive line banged up wasn't good enough to be playing in and winning this game. It probably wasn't good enough last year, but the Chiefs, you know, puked on their shoes so bad in the second half of the AFC Championship game, they allowed it to come to fruition. So I guess it would be Jalen Hurts has a day, but mostly it'd be because the offensive line had a day and Nick Sirianni's able to run through all the diversity of things he likes to do on offense, running the ball and throwing the ball. I'll say this, if they don't run, I think it could be a long day for the Eagles, because I don't think Jalen Hurts can just sit back there and spin it. It's going to have to be a combination of both run and pass for the Eagles to get to the what's probably going to be, what, 27 points it's going to take to win this game when it's all said and done?
Saran, thanks so much. I really do appreciate it. Like you said, I've covered a couple of these. I know how busy it gets out there, and I'm glad that you took some time to squeeze your expertise in for us here in Pittsburgh. Thank you.
Anything for the great Tim Benz. Anytime, my friend. Thanks for having me.
Saran Petro has been our guest, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. When we come back, we still got some hockey to talk about. Josh Yoey, 435. We're going to talk more about the Steelers coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. And Pitt, Jeff Capel, is he going to be the NCAA Coach of the Year? At least one national expert kind of thinks so. I'll tell you who that is next.